This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with Christ, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it? All that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let us pray. Our Father, we lift our hearts to Thee in praise and in thanksgiving that Thy Word is true, that the demands that are made upon us is irrevocable surrender to Christ, following Him with all that we are. And we do pray that as we began this series of messages today, that Thou wilt by Thy Spirit work effectually in our hearts. Oh, sin revival, sin awakening, deal with us as only Thou canst deal with us, our God and our Father, working effectually by Thy Spirit in each and in every heart. Oh, cause men to understand their need of Christ. Cause them to seek You with their whole heart. Work in their souls by the almighty power of Thy grace, the operation of Thy Spirit, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. praise, my worship goes out to my living God, for that's what He does. It's all of grace. He does this. He delivers. He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He brings us by His almighty power, the power of His Spirit through His grace, to crown Jesus Lord and to wait before Him. It's good to be back with you again today. We pray the blessings of our gracious Lord to rest upon you. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragements and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Write us if we can help you. Inquire about our revolving tape and cassette ministry. Let's look to the Lord to lead us and guide us and work in our hearts. The free book that we're offering this month is entitled A Call to Holiness by J.C. Ryle, with a foreword by Lloyd-Jones. This is a precious work, the grace of God, and I would that every one of you had a copy of this book and would pursue it in the quietness of your own home, A Call to Holiness. And truly he drinks deep from the Word of God to open up and to show us what God's Word says about a holy life and the demands of a holy life from Scripture. And truly it's entitled right, A Call to Holiness. A little book of 100 pages. We'd like to put it into your home, in your hands, and God would use it in your heart at this time. Write for it, will you? And ask for it by name. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. A Call to Holiness. Our mail-in address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. In waiting before the Lord for our next series of messages, I've been led by the Spirit to consider with you, my dear friends, the subject of decision for Christ. What does it mean? Yes, decision. For you see, life is made up of decisions. The course of every man's life is determined by the decisions that he makes. And of course, we hear much today of decision, making a decision, deciding for Christ. So I want to speak along that line and see what the Scriptures have to say concerning this matter of decision. Just what does decision for Christ mean? When we come to the subject of following Christ or deciding for Christ, when we come to the subject of seeking Him and believing Him and following Him, we find in Scripture that the basic demand that is made upon us is the response to our wills. A decision is to be made. Yes, the whole of Scripture appeals to our responsibility, the responsibility of decision, a response of our wills to the demand of God's rule in our life. But when we use the word decision, what do we mean by it? What does this decision for Christ involve? What are its demands? We know as we search the Scripture that it uses such terms or words as seek, knock, ask, believe, confess, repent, turn, and all of these appeal to our responsibility. But how do these words describe what is meant by the response of our wills to Christ? I know of no better way to get into our subject than to have us look together at Matthew 6:33 and see what we find there. Listen to God's Word. Our Lord said there in the Sermon on the Mount, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We could read this verse of Scripture like this: seek ye first the King and His rule. And that's what it really means. For you see, God's rule demands a response of our will. We're to seek Him first. We're to seek His kingdom. We're to come to Christ. We are to give the response of our wills to the Lord Jesus. When we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it makes this demand upon us: repent, turn, decide, receive the King and His rule. And we must receive it. We must yield ourselves up unto it. But what does it mean? To you precious souls outside of Christ there today, to every one of our hearts, I ask the question, what does it mean to decide for Christ? What does it mean to seek Him first and to seek His rule and to turn unto Him only? Are you listening? I do want to hasten to say this, that God's kingdom does not ask us to find in ourselves the righteousness that it demands. God's kingdom does not ask us to create the life that it requires, the repentance that it requires, the faith that it requires, the trust that it requires. Oh no! For God's ruling us by the Holy Spirit will give us this life and give us this repentance and this faith and this trust. When we receive this standard of God's righteousness, which is Christ, we not ask to achieve this by our own undertaking. Oh no! God's kingdom makes one demand upon me as a sinner, and that is to repent. It appeals to my responsibility. It makes one demand upon me as a sinner, turn unto God. It appeals to my responsibility. It makes one demand upon me as a sinner, decide wholly and completely for the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes one demand upon me as a sinner, receive first, seek first the kingdom of God. Then as we receive it, we receive the life of the kingdom. We receive the blessings of the kingdom and the life and the rule of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So then the question is asked immediately, Pastor, how does one receive this life? How is the righteousness of the kingdom to be obtained? Will you listen? I want the Holy Spirit to take this introductory message into the series home to our hearts today. I want you to follow us now closely, asking the Holy Spirit to open our ears and our eyes to hear. It's not a plaything we're dealing with. We're trying to define what it means to decide for Christ. The Word of God comes to us with a very simple answer. And yet, while it is simple, it nevertheless reaches down into the very depths of our being and reaches the very depths of our soul. Listen now. We read in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our lips the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, the Scripture says that we shall be saved. Again, Acts 16:31 reads, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Or as it is put in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But when we give forth these questions, and we answer them with this direct demand of God to believe, then there are questions immediately that come into our mind, aren't they? Should be. Is the kingdom of heaven to be entered into merely by taking the name of Jesus upon one's lips and making a verbal confession? Is the blessing of life to be received by believing in the resurrection and deity of Christ? Can a creed save me? Can the utterance of three words, Jesus is Lord, bestow life upon me? What did it mean to confess Jesus as Lord, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, the answers to these questions are to be found in the demand of the King to repent, to turn, to decide, and receive the King and His kingdom. Oh, my dear friend, may the Holy Spirit take home to our hearts today this message on decision for Christ. What does it mean as we go into and try to answer all of these questions that we have raised in this introductory message as to what does the word decision mean? We are asked to decide, our wills are to make a decision for Christ. What does He demand upon us? Will you listen? The demand for decision in our Lord's teachings as we find them in the Scriptures cannot be taken lightly. Our Lord required of men a resolute or determinate decision. This is set forth in Luke 9, verses 57 through 60. As our Lord and the disciples were going along the road, a man said, "Lord, I will follow you whithersoever you go." Here was a man who seemed ready to make the decision to follow Christ. In response, our Lord said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You see, our Lord challenged the seriousness of this decision. He said, "Friend, do you know what this involves? Do you know what this decision involves? Are you willing to become a disciple of one who is homeless, who has no standing and no prestige? Have you thought it through? Have you considered its implications, what it is going to cost you? Are you determined to follow me no matter what the cost?" And my dear friend, this is what our Lord says to us today when we decide to follow Him. Have we counted the cost of following Him? Follow me now. The demands of a decision in our Lord's teachings are not very light. There is a resolute or a determined decision to follow Him. Again, our Lord said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now here was a man who professed readiness to make a decision, but there was something else to be done first. "Yes," he said, "I want to follow, but can you wait a little minute? There is a prior claim upon my life. First let me take care of that, then I will come and follow you. I have good intentions, I'm going to follow you, but give me time." But our Lord replied in words which seemed harsh, but they were not. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead." By that he means, leave those that are spiritually dead to bury those who are physically dead. You come and follow me. And does not this tell us that the kingdom of God demands immediate, urgent decision? When the claims of following Christ comes to you, my dear friend, you cannot afford to trifle with it. You cannot argue and say, "But first I must live my life. First of all, there is a career to be pursued. I have important plans for my future which first must be carried out. I have obligations which I must first discharge. I'm about ready to get married and I will have to wait a while. I bought a piece of land and I must go see it. I bought a yoke of oxen, I must go to prove them." Oh no, our Lord said, there must be an immediate decision which is resolute and unqualified. For you see, you are coming to Christ to follow Him, and nothing else in the world matters but the eternal destiny of your never-dying soul. That's to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, the greatest thing in the world is to know Him, to follow Him, and to have His rule in your life. Nothing else matters but knowing Him. You see, dear friend, the kingdom of God demands a resolute decision and irrevocable surrender of all that you are and ever hope to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, listen to me. Are you listening? You see, to trust Christ, to submit to His rule, is to give up the whole man for time and for eternity. It is such a decision that gives up the right to yourself. It is a decision to follow Him all the days of your life. I would that you knew this. Across the breadth and length of the land today we heard, "Believe, decide." But oh, from what quarters do I hear what this decision entails? Are you listening? What does this decision entail? It means the giving up of the whole man to the whole Christ. You're not going to be yours any longer. You're going to follow the King of the Kingdom. You're going to follow another's rule. And that's the rule of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer going to have any right to yourself. You're going to give up all your rights unto Him. It is such a decision that gives up the whole man to the whole Christ. Are you following me? Next, the kingdom of God, the rule of the King, demands radical decision. You see, some decisions are easily made and require little effort. But the decision for the kingdom of God, to have the rule of Christ, is difficult and requires the power of God to accomplish it. How do we know this? Well, it is shown in our striving to enter into this kingdom. You see, we read in Matthew 11:12 these words, "And from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." You ask, Pastor, how are we to understand these words? What does violence have to do with receiving God's kingdom, God's rule, or making a decision for Christ? Our Lord illustrates this demand like this in Mark 9:47. "And if thine eye offend thee, causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell's fire." You see, the plucking out of an eye here is indeed violence. Or as it says in that same chapter in Mark 9, the cutting off of a right hand or a foot in order to enter the kingdom of God. My friend, these are strong words, aren't they? But they are words that are intended to show the decision that is required to close in with Christ and to follow Jesus as Lord. It is a radical decision. Again, our Lord says in Matthew 10:34, "Think not that I am come to give peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword." You see, a sword is an instrument of violence. Sometimes decision for the kingdom and to have the kingdom rule over us will be a sword that cuts across our relations, bringing pain and suffering. Did not our Lord say in Luke 14:26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple"? Did you hear those words? A sword. Hatred. These are words of violence. But they are words that are needed to show what is involved in a decision to follow Christ and crown Him King. Again, our Lord uses the expression "strive" to enter in at the straight gate or the narrow door. Luke 13:24. Did you know that the Greek word to strive is a strong term from which the English word agonize is derived and means to strain every nerve and every muscle to enter in? We have decided to follow Christ, so we must press on into Him. We're not going to let anything or anybody stop us from getting to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've decided to follow Jesus. My back is to the world, to hell and to sin. I'm pressing on in with my face toward Christ, my hope in Him, my all rested upon His never-changing Word. For He says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to press on in. I've decided to follow Him. And by the grace of God, I'm going to enter in. So the decision to follow Christ then, to seek His kingdom and His rule over us, is described as violence, strive, and intense effort. All of this language describes the radical character of the decision demanded by the kingdom of God. Oh, that we would hear it. This is no plaything. This is no half-hearted thing. It is the whole man going in search of the King and His rule. It is the whole man repenting, believing, deciding, surrendering unto Christ. Dear friend, this is what is meant by decision. This is what is meant by deciding for Christ. It means the giving up of the whole man to the whole Christ. For you say, "I'm going to follow Him no matter what it costs me. I'm going to follow Him if He leads me through hell. I'm going to follow Him no matter what I have to suffer, how I have to suffer, what it costs me of the world's affections, what it costs me with friends and loved ones, what it costs me with father or mother or husband or wife. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to leave husband and wife and father and mother and sister and brother and sweetheart. I'm going to leave my own life and my own pleasures and my own affections. And I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whithersoever He goeth." This is the decision that the Bible teaches. This is the decision that I believe in, because I know what it cost me to come to Christ. It cost me everything that I had. And I'll tell you a little secret, my friend, if you've never known it before. I've got to decide this way every day of my life. Oh, I thought it was one time. Oh, no. No, it's not just one time. It's every day I'm going to follow Him with the same resolute, radical nature. I'm going to follow Him with all that I have. And then I heard someone say, "Pastor, I thought salvation was free." Oh, brother, it is. Freely given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it costs us our will and all that we are ever hope to be, because we are going to live a spiritual life in a practical way in a sin-loving and God-hating world. And we're going to walk with the King. We're going to be strangers and pilgrims down here upon earth, and we must follow the voice of the King. So put it down and understand it today, dear friend, by the grace of God, that the decision spoken of in the Bible, to seek ye first the kingdom of God or the rule of God and His righteousness, deciding for Him, deciding for Christ, means that you're going to follow Him. He is going to be your Lord, your life, the Lord of your life, as well as the Savior of your soul. You're going to follow Him. But what a blessed life. My friend, I would not swap it for 10 million worlds like this world in which we're living. No, I wouldn't. The life of faith and the life in Christ, with all of its hardships, with all of its sorrows, with all of its decisions, with all of its pain, with all of its suffering, with all that it cost me day by day in turning my back upon sin and the world and the whole pleasures of this life. I don't care what it is. Following Christ and living the life of faith, walking with Him is the most blessed thing in all the world. Why? Because it's going to lead us from justification to glorification. We're going to be with the King forever and forever. And I praise God for it. Beloved, that's what it means to decide for Christ. And this is the first in the series along this line. I want you to listen each week and pray that God will take these words home to our hearts, we may know and understand God's requirements to be His. You'll want a copy of these messages, so you write for them. They'll be yours free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.